AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
In fact, I believe that we are right in the middle of a truly remarkable new revolution in agriculture that's being spurred its own impact of the digital revolution.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Planting season is nearing here in North America, and as farmers head to the fields, they're doing so in a tough global market for agricultural commodities. And those markets have an impact on nearly every facet of our daily lives. Here to help us make sense of the market and what's ahead is Dr. Scott Irwin, an author and the Lawrence J. Norton Chair of Agricultural Marketing at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. It is absolutely wonderful to have you with us here on Ag Bioscience. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
We have so much to uncover. As we were digging in, getting ready for this, I said, Scott, I could just open this up and say agricultural markets, huh? And the work that you have done, I mean, you are an incredible expert in ag marketing, in commodity marketing. I wanted to start with some broad perspective here, because I think this is a really important piece. We're starting to see equipment roll here in the Midwest. People are getting a focus once again across the broader economy on what's happening here in agricultural and ag bioscience. A recent report, I think, really underscores the global nature of what this ag market, this ag bioscience market is. This report revealed one fifth of U.S. farm production is exported. And that's a really challenging equation in what we're seeing, a turbulent global economy with much of the world headed into recession. Scott, from you, how are you viewing this current market, both here domestically and globally, as it relates to agricultural products?
I would describe my views as leaning towards the bearish scenario that you outlined so well. I've been there for about at least a good year. You could see these forces beginning to emerge. So I think unless something really dramatic happens to U.S. crops this summer, we're heading into what is a fairly regular cyclical downturn in agricultural crop prices. Livestock prices don't always fit so neatly in that picture. But at least on the crop side, we're looking at a typical down slope of the price cycle. And that's the environment that we're going to be in until something dramatic comes along. That's my overall view.
Scott, as you look at that, one of the challenges that we've seen of this last 3, 4, 5 year cycle, to your point, input prices were up as inflation continued to tick up. In this current operating environment, as we look at the overall ag bioscience economy, those on the supply side, ag tech companies, equipment companies, seed companies, chem companies, FERC companies, the list goes on. What does this current environment look like for them as well? How are they navigating? How are you seeing these input providers navigating this cycle that we're in today?
Well, I think it's in reaction to the same broad market forces on mainly the level of crop prices and the margin squeeze for farmers between elevated inputs and lower grain prices that we're going to see. Basically, the theme will be pullback, tightening down the hatches, so to speak, less aggressive strategies. You know, just everybody is going to be trying to operate their businesses in a less flush margin environment. You have layoffs, cutbacks in capital expenditures, those kinds of things, I think, will be probably the order of the day.
Now, Scott, you have looked at these patterns before. I was flipping through a couple of reports here before we got started. A September 23 article on FarmDoc, you and your colleague Daryl Good reviewed the last 17 years. I mean, this is an amazing compendium of work. Last 17 years of Illinois corn, soybean, and wheat prices to really understand the projections you made back in September of 08. Scott, your forecast were incredibly, remarkably accurate. I mean, less than 2% error in each case. You share that the original monthly average price projections, 461 and 1104 for corn and soybeans, respectively, in Illinois, still remain useful benchmarks for long-term planning. What do those price projections mean for the production operations here in the Midwest today? And how do you believe those will cascade through the balance of the economy?
Let's start from a farm sector perspective. Until, again, something dramatically changes in the supply-demand balance, I think that those are good long-run planning prices for corn, soybeans, and wheat. But if I'm right about my bearish lean and that we're in a downward cycle, we can be below those averages for a number of years at a stretch. And that has routinely happened in the past, if you go back to the previous eras, all the way back to World War II. So to me, the question is only how low and how long, probably, is the way I would summarize the uncertainty at this point. Again, the big question mark would be if weather this summer, and we are in a big El Nino weather pattern right now, that could alter the short-term calculus. But that's the way it looks to me. As that filters through the rest of the economy, it probably will help provide a little bit of a relief eventually in prices at the grocery store, although that food price inflation is much more a function of non-commodity prices. So, but it would still help some.
I love your framing around how low, how long. And I wouldn't be doing my job, Scott, if I didn't ask you. So, Scott, how low for how long are you expecting this to be?
Just basing on the history that we see, I'm going to just assume we get trend yields in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world for a few years. And typically what happens during these phases of the cycle is we tend to get eventually some really good crops that are part of the reason why we stay so low. But if we have normal crops here in the U.S., I think it's pretty clear that we will probably be looking at corn prices out of the field here in the Midwest around, I suspect they'll touch $3.50 a bushel, and bean prices probably maybe $10.75, $10.50. So we're not in a robust demand situation. South America is getting ready to harvest much recovered soybean crops, even with a little bit of trouble down in Brazil. Early on, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good corn crop down there as well. So right now, we don't see a lot of relief on the supply side. So that's what I would see in the short run. Struggling, much like we did from 2014 through 2019, to get above $4 would be on corn, kind of the way I would summarize it for farmers. And how long? I mean, it's not unusual for these kinds of down cycles to last 3 or 4 years at least.
But there's room and there's opportunity for optimism. We'll talk about it right after this. We'll be back with Dr. Scott Irwin right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Dr. Scott H. Irwin from University of Champaign-Urbana. Scott, you've painted a picture that is pretty tough on farm. We talked about how low, how long, but there is some reason for optimism. You've covered it extensively in your book. You really have written the book on the topic. When people says, yeah, you know, who's the guy who's written the book? Dr. Scott H. Irwin is the guy who wrote the book, Back to the Futures, really reflects this broader scope of the impact of ag markets on the overall economy. Scott, what was the impetus for the book? And how is that book playing out in the role of optimism here as we head into planting season and we head into growing season of 2024?
Why I wrote the book is I've spent most of my professional career, which started over there in Indiana at Purdue. I'm a proud Boiler alum and know lots of Indiana farmers. Spent my career basically partly trying to explain how commodity futures markets work and what their value is to the agriculture and broader economy. And in particular, coming out of the controversies around the 2007-08 price spike, I just realized there was a huge educational job that was needed. But I didn't want to just write another textbook that very few people would ever read. I really wanted something that could educate the broad public about these markets. And it took me a while, and I came up with an idea inspired by one of my favorite authors, Michael Lewis, to use some wild and crazy stories from my reckless youth growing up on an Iowa farm to introduce each of these topics about the markets. It was kind of a crazy idea for a crazy book, and it seems to have worked and received pretty well. And so that's the impetus for the book. But your other question, which was, you know, what's this mean in terms of some optimism? I think the book helps you step back, take a broader look at things and realize no up cycle or down cycle of prices ever lasts forever. And that's one of the things you learn really studying these markets is kind of the emotional psychological element, Mitch. And there's real truth to this idea that when prices are near the top, people tend to get a little too optimistic and think that they're always going to be this high. But equally, and sometimes even more in reverse, when prices go low, extreme pessimism can take over and we're never going to get out of this. But we always do. That's what this broader history shows. And I think, you know, the seasoned people in the sector know this and plan for this.
Scott, as you look at those cycles, would love your perspective. How do these cycles coming from the peak, heading down on that downward slope, how have you seen great organizations, farmers, input providers, those who are investing in R&D, how have you seen them navigate this to continue to advance innovation, even in a tightening economy?
Well, I think that that's probably the real story of the entire ag sector is just this ever present impulse and energy towards being more efficient and more productive. It's a remarkable story. It continues day in and day out, decade after decade, and people searching for how to do more with less. And that's a huge story. It's going to continue. There are always many difficult decisions about, well, how much do I invest? How quickly in a new technology? And that's the real managerial skill that I admire in so many farmers and people in the agribusiness sector. You know, those are the tough calls. And I presume people are thinking a lot about those and probably being a little bit more conservative about those kinds of decisions as we look forward to the next few years, but it's going to continue. In fact, I believe that we are right in the middle of a truly remarkable new revolution in agriculture that's being spurred, its own impact of the digital revolution, everything from self-driving tractors, automation, drones, micro ability to manage crop and livestock production. Then you have on the other side of it, AI and machine learning, statistics that are impacting how fast and smart we can do things. And behind the scenes, this is a really remarkable time to be alive in agriculture, in my opinion.
Scott, as you think about that, we often talk about these markets as a relatively fixed number, but we're focused on the top line. right? Your long-term projections around 4 corn, 11 soybeans, those are rough. But as you think about that, in this new era that you just walked through, this incredible time to be in agriculture, should we be more focused on the bottom, right? The idea of how much leverage, how much scale, how much ability can we glean to drive greater efficiency, and I would argue greater resiliency from the system through innovation?
I would argue, hopefully, we never take our eye off that ball. Again, using Hoosier hysteria metaphor. Just never take your eye off that ball. Those are the operations at the farm level and the agribusinesses that survive. You either innovate or you disappear. And that has really been true my whole life, and I don't expect that to change. You have to innovate. And the trick is, where and which innovations do you pick? And always respect, those are not always very easy answers to come up with, but people do them and we will keep doing them. There's one thing I have faith in is the resiliency and smarts, basically, of U.S. farmers, proven it over and over again. We are going to go through some leaner, tougher times, in my opinion, but probably are going to have gone through much more difficult times in the past. So like I said, I'm basically optimistic.
Scott, time for one more question before we wrap up. You've shared your thoughts on how low, how long, but give us maybe two or three things that you're looking at here as we head into the 24 growing season. What's the call to action for producers? What's the call to action for those that supply them?
This might be a little biased because I'm doing so much research on this right now, but the wild cards for optimism in the sector are, I think, in places that we don't usually look. And that's in particular in biofuels policy and climate policies, particularly in and outside of the U.S. One of the biggest swing factors, I think, starting in 2025, is going to be something that's probably not on very many people's bingo cards, which is Canada's implementation of a very similar low carbon fuel standard to what California has implemented. And the U.S. has also made some changes in tax credits, and all this is going to potentially mix together to maybe give us another leg up in the renewable diesel boom, which has been so helpful on the soybean side the last 3 years. So not everything's negative.
It is good reason for optimism despite a tough market. He is Dr. Scott H. Irwin, author and the Lawrence J. Norton Chair of Agricultural Marketing at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Scott, it has been an absolute delight to have you here on Ag Bioscience. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.